Hey there, Warriors in Hope. Welcome to another episode. So I've been thinking about this a lot more lately, especially in the past couple of weeks. And I'll tell you why a little bit later on. But I want to first just put this out there. And I'm sure if you're dealing with something big, you can absolutely identify with this. We don't just get one thing to deal with in life, one challenge, or even one trauma, one loss. One big thing. Wouldn't that seem fair? Like life is supposed to be fair, right? But wouldn't it seem only fair that if you had something really big, like a terrible illness or an accident or some massive betrayal or huge trauma, something like addiction in the family, huge, massive trauma, heartbreak, I mean, just all rolled into one. Wouldn't it seem only fair that you should only have this one thing? I mean, isn't that enough to deal with? When something like that happens, I know for sure with my daughter Jamie and her addiction, there wasn't much left of me because I poured everything into it. And if you're a mom especially, I'm sure you can identify with that and relate to it, pouring your entire heart and soul into this terrible, devastating situation that's happening to your son or daughter. And I mean, you know, who wouldn't initially? But what happens is if their addiction goes on for any length of time, now we've just poured everything into it. And it's affecting our health. It's affected my health for sure. It affects us mentally and emotionally and even spiritually. And so that really is kind of the danger, is that we've got to preserve something so we don't completely self-destruct. So my mom will be 82 this year, and she's living on her own, but it's not really working. She is such a social person, and we're watching kind of a little bit of cognitive decline and probably, you know, not probably, depression and loneliness and all of this going on. And she's moved over where we live now in Arizona. And so after having moved here, she has more family, but she doesn't have any friends. And she's a super social person. And her family is there a lot, but we are not there all day long. So there's these massive stretches of time. And it's had me, especially me, because I just have such a high degree of empathy. It has me picturing her and worried about her and, you know, obviously worrying that she falls down and then she doesn't answer her phone and, you know, just the stress of that. And a lot of you have been through something like this or will be, and it's one of those facts of life. So I'm not here to complain about it or anything, but to say that if we give it all, you know, all we have and wipe ourselves out, then when these inevitable other situations occur, we don't have anything left to work with. I heard from somebody recently that said the same thing. I think she had a couple of falls, and I don't know any of the details, but she said absolutely as a result of her son's addiction. She's identified and realized that all of these years of complete stress, probably lack of sleep, it's affected every area of her life. And then I don't know what other challenges she has to deal with, but I think that's really what my thought is today to like, I'm sure you've thought about this, but to really put it more into practice. You know, how do we take care of ourselves? So I remember when I had my epiphany and I said, you know what, Valerie, if you could have saved Jamie from her addiction, you would have done it a long time ago, right? I mean, if all it took were prayers and tears and suggestions and saving her and coming to her rescue, it would have been done a long time ago. So it wasn't that I was a bad person. It wasn't that I didn't do enough. It wasn't that I didn't love her enough. It had nothing to do with me. The fact of the matter was that I never had any control in the first place. And it was a painful reality, but it was also one that helped me to realize that I had to start taking care of myself, because and the only way I could do that really was to think about the other people in my life, like my son, Sean, and my husband and whoever else, that I'm not showing up for anyone else. It's all about Jamie. But see, here's the challenge for me. I wonder if you can relate to this. I'd love to hear from you sometime. That I'm the kind of person that like loves things checked off her to-do list. I love making lists. I've been known to put things on the to-do list that I've just done and completed so I can have the satisfaction of crossing it off. Okay, I know you might think that's a little nutty, but it just gives me that satisfaction. I have a hard time sleeping until things are settled. I don't like things that are open-ended, which is kind of unfortunate because life is full of open-ended things and things we can't resolve immediately. And so this situation with my mom has had me not sleeping. I mean, I've had a sleep problem for over 20 years, but this is a really exceptionally bad period of time where I'll wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:15 even the other night, and I can't get back to sleep for hours. And then maybe when I do, it's a half an hour and then I'm awake again. Then it's another hour maybe. Or I'm up at, 2:30 for good. So, and a lot of it has to do with me just wanting all of this settled. There's been a lot of coaching and helping and encouraging and a little bit of pushing. And like I said, I'm playing junior psychologist. That's what I tell people with my mom to get her to this point where she's actually looking forward to this move. And so all of this and all of these things converge on my brain and I want to get them settled. And, things only move at a certain pace. There are all sorts of appointments I had to schedule and there's paperwork. And thankfully I've got one of my brothers, especially who's really involved in all this. But it's hard for me. So if you're that kind of person that you want something settled and then you have this massive thing like someone's addiction, maybe it's an illness, where there's these waiting periods of time, but more importantly, no control. We hate that, right? We don't like not having control. So I'm not suggesting that it's simple for you to just simply go, oh, okay. Yep. Valerie's right. Got it. Okay. Good luck to you, son, daughter, I'm moving on. Obviously, that's not even possible. I really do not think, especially for a mom, it is possible for you to just go, let me move on with my life. So when I suggest that you think about yourself, take care of yourself, even prioritize yourself, it's not that you stop caring, thinking about, hoping, praying, all of that. Of course not. But we become obsessed, right? That's the big thing I wanted checked off of my to-do list. Jamie's recovery. Jamie beating her addiction beast. That was it. That was the thing. And because I needed it so badly, I tried to steer the ship. I tried to make it happen. I tried to guilt trip her and say this and do that and give her this point of view and make her and get mad at her. And I tried it all. And of course, everything I tried, nothing worked because I never did have control. And then I felt like this big fat failure. And then it made me feel like a failure in every area of my life. So that's the problem when we pour our entire heart and soul efforts, the whole nine, like I've been all consumed with this, trying to get my mom to this place. I've been doing it for 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks now. Okay, that's fine. And there'll be some ancillary things I'm going to have to work through as she gets settled in. But when you do that for years, that kind of stress, the not sleeping, the worrying, the putting everything on your shoulders, thinking everything is what you have to do and you have to control, and then you don't have control, and then you feel like a failure day after day after day after week, month, year. That affects us. That affects every area of our lives. And then we have something else that hits, and then you're just really feeling sorry for yourself. Like, really? Seriously? I mean, I remember going, God, come on. I mean, what's going on here? Like the childhood trauma wasn't enough. And then this wasn't enough. Then my daughter's addiction and she was shot the first time. And then somebody stole our savings. And then she was murdered. And then, it's been almost 8 years and we haven't even had a trial yet and blah, blah, blah. The point is you could fill in the blanks with all of your stuff. I wish I were in charge. I would say that's it. Limit. One big thing. Clearly I'm not in charge. But that's why I ended up creating the 9 actions to battle your beast that I introduced in my book, Still Standing After All the Tears, and the workbooks. So that it's just my insight, everybody's got different perspectives and things that'll work for them, But these were really perspectives that helped me and seemed to have helped a lot of other people that I wanted to share in case it could help you too. So if you haven't read that book or got a workbook, I suggest you do. And, you know, get whatever resources you need and a support group, right? A tribe. And I almost resist sometimes using the word support group, even though I think there are some amazing supportive groups out there. I do also think that a lot of so-called support groups are not that. It's a bunch of people commiserating, you know, and I get wanting to be around people that have your similar situation. Because, you know, back to my mom's situation, one of the things I told her that I thought was really important is she's now going to be around other ladies that are in similar situations to her, similar stages of life. Because as much as her family loves her, we don't understand. We haven't been there yet. We can't understand. I told my brother the other day, and this might seem, you know, harsh the way I put it, but let's just get right, you know me, rubber meets the road here. I said, sometimes I just want to be around someone else who has a dead kid. Because it doesn't matter how much my family loves me, they don't know how I feel. And I only know a couple of people in that situation, and we don't, you know, talk that much. And even when I'm around this one in particular that lives around me, we don't talk about that, right? It's not like we're sitting around talking about that all the time. But we are able to just be with each other and understand. Love that. I mean, I love that I can have those moments with somebody who actually understands. So that's good. It is good to have that type of support and camaraderie and companionship and just time with people who do understand. But you have to be careful, because there are so many people out there that are just simply wanting someone to commiserate with, somebody to go down into the pit with them. And you know, here's the thing, you can already go down in the pit by yourself. Okay, that's easy enough. When you're going through something very difficult, other people don't understand, you don't know why the hits keep coming, this long situation that you don't have any control over and you can't find a resolution, and the person you love can't find a resolution, whatever your situation happens to be, then you just, I mean, it's like a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes every minute challenge to not go down into the pit, to not find yourself back down on the mat. If you read Still Standing After All the Tears, you'll know what I mean by down on the mat, and I think you'll relate to it. You know, on your back with your beast on top of you, that's easy enough. You don't need anyone to help you get there. You're fighting to not be there. So my suggestion is always to find people who are fighting. Yes, they can understand. Yes, they also have moments like you where they feel like falling. But if that's all they're doing is pulling you down, it's going to be detrimental. You don't need that. So I think it's really healthy to be around people that love you and your family and support you, even if they don't completely understand what you're going through. That's good, because they also have different perspectives that can help you. You don't want to only be around people who are in your exact situation for all the reasons I just said. But then, of course, if you have people who are fighting with you, alongside you, you know, you're both getting stronger. You're both finding ways to overcome. That is great. That's what's so important. That's one of those 9 actions. And I also have referred to in my online program, the 9 weapons of hope. One of those is about your circle of strength. So who you have around you and at different times, different types of people is super, super important. So I have Rich, and he's my number one person that I'm around the most, that has been supportive and has kept me social, because I wanted to isolate for a long time, and thankfully I had Rich. So who do you have? You know, if you don't have somebody like that, you're going to have to go find somebody like that, because it's really important. Just like I told my mom, you have no social life anymore, and it's affecting you. In every way, it's affecting her. And so that's one of the main reasons, that's possibly, you know, top of the list is her socialization. So we don't want to lose that when we're going through these dark times and these very difficult situations. And then, like I said, just make sure you have the good of a support group. Here's the deal, my friend. Nobody's going to come along and sprinkle magic fairy dust over you and suddenly your life is okay. Ain't going to happen. I waited for 13 years for something outside of my control to get better so I could be better. And then I finally pulled the emergency brake on the roller coaster from hell and got off. And it has been an epic battle, battling that beast of mine to this day. But I don't even want to think about where I would be had I not done that, found the resources, and got myself better and stronger. Because while I waited for Jamie's recovery, I had to remember that my recovery mattered too. And so does yours. Whatever you're going through, just know you're not alone. Feel free to reach out to me. You can go to my website, valeriesilvera.com, send me an email at v@valeriesilvera.com, and I'm happy to support you in any way that I'm able. Today is the day for you to find your courage, to stand up and choose courage, because your story matters. So it's time to start living it courageously.